Blog Talk Radio.
Hello. Hello and welcome to Okay, Okay, We're Listening. Tonight, our format is going to be a little different. It's just going to be Greg Graham and I. My name is Priscilla Andrews. Greg, you with me?
I'm here, Priscilla. How are you doing tonight?
I am fantastic. First and foremost, I want to let our listeners know that we are opening the phone lines right now. So please feel free to call in once we get started. The number is 515-605-9703. Again, that's 515-605-9703. You guys can call in at any time to tackle any of these questions that we'll have tonight. Once you call in, please be patient. We'll get to you. But tonight we're going to talk about looking for Mr. Right. A lot of women in today's society, they want to be married, but they want to find the right guy to connect with and build a family with. And apparently the consensus on that is that it's pretty difficult to do. So I want to ask the first question, is there a such thing as Mr. Right? That's my first question, because to me, you're never going to get 100%. You might get most of it, but you're not going to get all of it. And should that stop you from moving forward in your relationship? And so, Greg, what do you think about that? Is there perfect guy, like Mr. Right, the one for you? What do you think about that?
Well, there's no guy right for me, period.
Well, I know that. But you have a sister, you have a mother. Cute. That was cute.
Yeah, the way you worded it, I say, hey, I got to make sure the people understand that there's no right man for me,
that they
period.
Understand it. There's no guy for you. Got it.
I think that question is kind of up in the air. I don't think there is a particular guy out there that's completely perfect for anybody. I think it's more about compromising. Once you find a guy that has suitable qualities that you're looking for, then you can actually say, okay, am I willing to compromise to this guy because I know he has some faults that I don't like, but you know, all these plus factors that he has, then yeah, I can actually deal with it. I find today that a lot of women see one or two little cracks in a person's armor and they're like, I don't want to deal with this particular person because this reminds me of this person that I dated before in the past. So they bring in those baggage that they have from their previous relationships into the ones they have right now. It's kind of kind of sad now because as you look at it, when people get older, they have so many negative things that they have from their past relationships. And once they see those triggers, they automatically just put that person to the side and say, I'm not dealing with this person because of that particular information. So to me, I have a love-hate type of situation with that particular question of if there is a such person as Mr. Right because of that particular factor. I don't know. What do you think about that particular question to yourself?
For
is there such thing as that?
For me, speaking with some of my female friends, I think to some degree we watch movies and we see TV and we feed into this perfect romantic image, you know, where the guy chases you down in the subway and falls on his knees and proposes. I mean, it's great on film, but you have to find somebody that you can, to me, at least get along with. I say if they have about 80% of what you want, you can compromise on the other 20%. You know what I mean? And like you said, one of my friends, she's so anal about certain characteristics that for me hold no weight, you know, but these are things that are important for her. And I think that the things that she's ignoring, really, really big things that you should be concerned about. Like she would prefer penis size over whether or not he's working.
But how
to
do
me,
you
he
know
should
that?
Be working.
Like, Oh, how do you know that? Period. First of all, like when
how
you're
do I
dating
know
somebody,
what?
we try to like his penis size. You know, I guess you can understand if he's working or not, but that's not something that she could actually automatically find out. She just automatically say,
Oh
"Hey,
no!
you know, I
Oh
find
no!
him, and once I see it,
No! No!
then
No! 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 Oh, my friend, you have been out of the dating scene for quite a long time.
oh yeah,
She
I forgot you. Big pics.
yeah, yeah, and she will, and she's so forward, she'll come out
Yeah.
on the first date and ask if she can feel, if she can grope, because that is very, very important to her, and she does not want to be in a relationship where she's not sexually fulfilled.
Wow.
Other things like being responsible, having a job, how many, you know, quote unquote baby mamas does he have? She doesn't care about any of that. She just wants to make sure that he can satisfy her sexually. Now, to her, that's Mr. Right. To me, that's not
Oh
Mr.
my
Right.
God, that's
to me,
terrible.
that is an unrealistic expectation. And
yeah.
at the end of the day, none of us are perfect. You know, everybody thinks they're pure as the driven snow, but you're not. You have things that, you know, you probably need to work on as well. And so you need to find those basic characteristics that you can live with. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying settle, but those basic characteristics that you can live with, that and the other stuff, you know, you can work on it. You can do without. And I think at the end of the day, we have to do that.
Yeah, actually, when I was thinking about this show, I have a couple of fans out there that's actually giving me suggestions. So shout out to everybody out there that's giving us suggestions. Please keep on bringing them in. And she was telling me, like, hey, you know, I have a girlfriend similar to yours saying, hey, if a guy can't fulfill her or don't have a big enough member downstairs, that she's going to end up cheating on him. She's going to end up cheating on him because of his member size. I'm like, that's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you got the guy that has all these attributes that's ready to give you everything he got, just because his thing that he's now blessed with at birth, can't fulfill you, everything else is just out the window. But Priscilla, before we go any further, we have a caller, and they might have something to add to this. So let's see.
Caller,
you're on the air with okay, we're listening. How can we assist you today? Hello, caller, you're on the air. I guess they muted out because
I think we lost them. Yeah.
Oh, okay. If they decide to come back in, just call back in and we'll let you back in the air, okay? Thank you very much, caller. All right. Let's see, Priscilla. So I think that goes to my next question I have, and I think you kind of answered it a little bit, but the question I have is for the ladies out there, you can answer for Priscilla. Ladies, why is it so important for a man to have certain physical attributes for you to consider him a potential mate? Like, for instance, he has to be over 6 foot. He has to be muscular. He has to, you know, like you said, be blessed downstairs. Why is that so important for ladies out there, instead of having those attributes of saying, hey, this person is a good nurturer. He could be able to provide for me and my family. He's the one that could actually help me get to the next level. Our relationship can grow and blossom to something that could be bigger than anything that I could do by myself. Why don't women look at those particular attributes instead of the physical attributes in order for a guy to talk to them?
Said before, it is, I guess it's what attracts you to another human being. And it's very funny that you ask this question and you pose it to ladies. We talked about this a few weeks ago, how women, and don't take this the wrong way, but it seems like they pick up male dominant characteristics. And I mean that to say, since the beginning of time, it's been okay for a man to go after a woman with a big butt or breast and so on and so forth. And that's been accepted. But women nowadays are coming out and they're saying, hey, you got to have this. You got to have, I don't care if it's a big penis, you got to have broad shoulders, you got to have this. And I think that the problem comes in when you put too much importance on things that really don't make the person their personality. I mean, you may have a really, really good person, really great personality, want to take care of you, want to be faithful to you, but you're chasing after that guy who has a big ding-a-ling. That's what we used to call him when he was coming up. And you just want to mess around with him, but here you have this really, really great guy over here. So I think that It's just society. It's a society that we live in. Men have been doing it since the beginning of time, and now women are like, hey, you got to have this, this, and this. And it's a little scary. And I'm not going to say my girlfriend's name because I don't want to throw her under the bus too much. But God, no. God, no. She'd never forgive me. But we have this conversation all the time. And that is something that is extremely important to her. Like, it is like the end all to it all.
Oh, my goodness.
She has,
I think our caller came back. I think our caller has come back. So let's see if we can actually hear him or her.
Okay.
Caller, you're on the air.
Hey,
we're listening.
Hi, can you hear me?
Hello. We can hear you.
Hey,
say your name and where you're from.
Hi, I'm Fionn. I'm from New York, but I live in Savannah.
Hey, Fionn, how you doing today?
Hi, how are you? I'm good.
Great.
How are you doing?
Great.
I came in kind of late and caught the tail end of the conversation, but I pretty much got the gist of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I chuckled to myself while I was listening because I said, wow, back in the day, way back, mm-hmm. back in the day,
okay.
before I was married,
uh-huh.
I used to judge men like, okay, what I thought was, you know, the guy that had it going on, also, you know, he was packing, he was well endowed.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a particular boyfriend that, yeah, he was well endowed, but this brother had nothing going for him other than
mm-hmm.
what was between
mm-hmm.
his legs. But for my mind frame at that time, you know, I was young and not knowing any better. To me, you know, as long as he could satisfy me in the sheets, I didn't care about, you know, that he was a creep, because that's
mm-hmm.
actually what he was a creep, just a creep with a big ding-a-ling.
Mm-hmm.
So I talk now to like a lot of the young girls, and I'm looking and I'm going, what are you looking for? What is it that you want in a man? What, you know, my mom used to tell me, you see how a man treat his mama, that's how he's going to treat you.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of, you know, go with that, okay, but then, you know, that can go another way as well. But that whole mindset of our standards, you know, what makes a good companion. And that's nowadays, you know, well, I'm happily married 20
mm-hmm.
plus years, but,
congratulations.
You know, I try to tell my daughter and her friends, you know, look for more than what he can do for you in the bed. You know, when y'all get out
mm-hmm.
of bed, are y'all compatible? Can y'all hold a conversation?
Right.
Can y'all interact
right.
with one another? Because you can't
mm-hmm.
stay in bed all day. I mean, well, you can, but you got to get up eventually.
You got to get out of bed, right?
Well,
right?
Well, Fia, we thank you for calling in and bringing in your comments. That's something that we really need in this particular show because, like I was saying earlier, you know, women, and people, actually just think that you have these physical attributes and they're going to translate to something else in the future. You know, we got to start
mm-hmm.
looking at relationships more than, okay, let's go day by day. Instead of going by day by
right.
day, what is the purpose of this relationship? You know, what can we build
right.
together? If we can actually grow and build something fantastic and beautiful, that's where we should be leading ourselves to. Like when I got married, you know, I had a purpose in my marriage to say, okay, we're going to do this. We're going to move here. We're going to do this. We're going to get this. We're going to get that. And then when we got to those things, okay, now we need to make new plans, new goals. What is the new purpose? Because if we just go
yeah.
day by day and taking it as we go, you know, that's going to get boring really, 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 really quick. And that's
it gets very boring. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm glad Fionn called in and brought that up to us because, you know, she's teaching her daughters that, you know, I know he's
absolutely.
Cool, he looks great, you know, he's fine, he got that nice whatever, but, you know, what can he do for you? What can he do for your family? What are you going to do for your children if you decide to have children with him? You know, these are
right.
very important
right.
questions because a lot of times people get divorced because they're not compatible. And that's a sad
absolutely.
Thing that we have out here today.
Absolutely. And I did want to, I'm glad that the caller said that she is teaching the younger generation
mm-hmm.
because
mm-hmm.
they need to learn from our mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are not going to show your children your mistakes and where you went wrong, then I think you're doing them a disservice. You got to
mm-hmm.
pay it forward.
Mm-hmm.
You got to.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, you do.
Absolutely.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
Next question. This one is directly for you. What do men want in a woman, ultimately? What do men want from a woman? I mean, come on,
honestly,
just out with it.
Honestly. We want absolutely nothing from a woman.
Oh, let me hear this now.
Okay. Let me break it down.
Educate me.
If we can't say it's sex, because if it was sex, you know, men will never cheat.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
If it's sex, there's a lot of single women out there that probably have some great sex. So it can't be that.
Gosh.
No, but let's just break this down. What we as men want from a woman is nothing that she can actually give us, is what we can actually give her. Men are providers. Mm. They will look at a situation and say, okay, I see this woman here. What can I add to her life? If I can't find anything that I can add to her life, then I can't jump into that situation because there's nothing for me to give her. And there's nothing that's for me to give her, so I'm irrelevant. And men like that. Case in point, Priscilla. Let's just say, hypothetically, I don't know if you know how to fix a car or anything like that, but let's just say you're on the side of the road. Your car breaks down. You're going to probably have five or six type of men try to come up to you and try to help you out.
Right.
But normally, if you're walking down the street, minding your business, having a good old time, most likely those same men want to talk to you because they don't have an angle to talk to you about. They don't have anything to give to you. That's what men want.
Right.
They want to give you something, not necessarily within the physical body, but something that's going to enhance your life. I guess what it's like called upgrading you. And if they can't find that particular angle to upgrade you, then they don't find themselves in a type of situation to actually even talk to you or even go further with you. A lot of women tell me this and say, hey, Greg, you know, I got a house. I'm a professional. I got multiple degrees. I really don't need anything from a man, but I'm looking for a man. Okay, so where does he fit in? And do you allow him to see the things that you need for him to fit in? Go ahead.
So does that fuel the notion of men who are intimidated by women who are more successful than they are because they feel like they can't fill a void or fill a gap? They feel like there's nothing that they can contribute, so they get intimidated and they don't pursue a relationship.
Yes and no. It don't necessarily have to be financial either. So we can't just automatically say that just because she has a higher stature of education or she has more money than this man is saying he can't do anything with her. I brought up the example of if you've been on the side of the road, because I know a couple that this one guy, he's a garbage man, and this woman, she's a doctor, and they got married just because he met her on the side of the road and she was broken down, and he was nice to her, and he gave her things that she needed. So all the stuff that she wanted, that she couldn't get from herself, from her education, from her practice, he filled in that void. And he was happy to do that. And they've been married for quite a while now. Priscilla, I think we have a call. So let's see if we have a male that can actually put some perspective on this. One second.
All right.
Hello. Welcome to Okay, We're Listening. Caller, state your name and tell us where you're from.
Yeah, this is Chris from Atlanta, Georgia.
Hey, Chris. What's
Hi,
going
Chris.
On, man?
Hey, how y'all doing tonight?
Good. Do you have anything to add to what a man wants from a woman?
I mean, I heard the whole Mr. Right part and this and that. You know, I deal with these women in Atlanta, and it's so hard to take them seriously. Because when they talk about they want Mr. Right, they want three or four or five different Mr. Rights. Let me explain it to you.
Okay.
They want a guy that's good in bed. They want a guy that's smart and educated, you know, physically appealing, strong, look good, all that. So what they'll do is they'll have one guy to do that for him, one guy to do this for him, one guy to do this for him.
So you saying that these ladies are playing the field like men are? Like back in the day?
Yeah. Like, so Exactly. Oh, so the Mr. Right is just a combination of three or four men that they pretty much use. And you know, I don't have a problem with that. I don't have a problem with that at all, but just be straight up about it.
So are
Chris,
you saying,
you're
saying
they build
man?
A man?
Oh, yeah. They build a man block by block by block.
So are you a single man in Atlanta?
They got three or four Mr. Right. They use a man that's great in something, and then use another one that's great in something. Mm. Because if you think about it, if they get a guy that's super nice to him, this and that, they'll run all over his ass.
They sure will. You're right, Chris.
They
agree
will
with you
100%. Run all over his ass.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, Chris, thank you for calling in. We really appreciate your comments and your candor about how the women are in Atlanta. Priscilla, I have another caller as well. Do you want to bring them in or
bring
do we? Okay, I hope it's a female.
No, bring them in.
Okay. Hello, welcome to OK, OK, We're Listening. Tell us your name and where you're from. Hello, caller. Caller, call back. I can't hear you, so maybe you have a bad connection. All right, Priscilla.
Please, for our audience that's still listening, the phone lines will be open the entire show, and that number to call in is 515-605-9703. What were you saying, Greg?
I was just going to go to my next question I have for you, because I find this, I guess, a little bit baffling, but I get it. I understand it, especially the plight that black women has gone through in the United States. But the question I have for you is, I know it's a lot of black women will not date outside of their race. Why is that?
Okay. So this is how I understand it from speaking with my sisters. Women tend to date outside of their race. And let me finish my whole point before you jump all over me. Black women tend to date outside of their race when they are fed up with the quote-unquote black man. And I think before they get to that point, they look at it as a betrayal to date outside of their race. And they have to be pushed to the point where they're like, I'm done with black men. They've treated me like garbage. I'm going to get me a white. And that is pretty much the narrative that I'm getting with black women who date outside their race. Now, hey, don't kill the messenger. I'm just telling you what I've been told. So, sorry.
Well,
it just seems like black women will get fed up.
I get that part, but I'm talking about within the black community, black women won't date outside of race. I know women are like, man, that man is fine, but, you know, if he was black, I would date him. I would never date anybody outside of my race because, you know, I just love my black man. And I don't have any problem with that, but...
Right.
We already know that we are a minority out here at a very alarming rate. We'd be put in jail. We're being killed. We're being miseducated. So, and you look in the United States, the black woman right now has the highest level of degrees in the United States. So now you're looking for a man and you're single and say, hey, I'm looking for a man. And you say you won't date outside your race. Why would a woman hold herself back from happiness just because this particular person doesn't have the same color skin?
Now, let me touch on that. And the only women that I have come in contact with that are just completely against it, it's because of one, religious beliefs, and also those women who, like you said, they are, as we love to say this term, they're woke. They're really, really into the black man, the black community, and they won't budge on it. They will not budge on it. I don't care what you offer them, what that other man has. And for the women that I have spoken to, I haven't spoken to all the women in the world, so please don't chop my head off. But for the women that I have spoken with who share those really strict views on dating outside of their race, it's been because of a religious belief. Or as they say, they're woke. But I feel like there is a bit of a tide changing. And when I do speak to women who date outside of their race, it is I hear more often than not that they've been so mistreated by a black man that they went over. So I wonder, had you had a good experience, would you still had went over to the other side? So I like I said, I haven't spoken to every woman in the whole wide world, but for what the feedback that I'm getting, and even doing research for this show, it was either a religious background or they're really, really into history and uplifting the black community and just being loyal to our black brothers. There's a loyalty and an uplifting and a need to uplift our brothers because they feel like they've been trampled on in society so much. And that is their limit. That is their limit. They're not going to budge from it. And that's just what it is.
Yeah, I hear you. And I guess, like I always say on the show, I guess I'm old school because the women that I speak to, they're like, nah, I love my chocolate. That's all I'm dealing with. I'm dealing with my black man. Nothing else could change that. I might talk to another race, but, you know, at the end of the day, this is the only thing that I need is my black man. And it's sad because of two reasons. One, a lot of black men not feeling that way. They'll go like, I just go at anything and whatever makes me happy, I'm going with. I'm not saying all men are like that, but a lot of them are like this. And two, you know, like I was saying before, you have opportunities out there to meet a perfect match. And if you were using skin color as a deterrent for you to find a perfect match, and you're out there looking for a perfect match, so you might need to question your motives and what you're actually trying to do out here in society.
Why limit yourself?
That's all I'm saying.
Greg, the lovely Miss Tiffany has some input on this question. You going to let her rock the mic?
Okay, I'll let her rock the mic. Hello, Tiffany. How you doing?
I'm good, guys. How are you guys?
Good.
What you got,
Tim? I don't know. Just answering that question about, you know, why black women don't date outside their race. For me, I guess I grew up in the Bronx, so I wasn't around a lot of, you know, white people, a lot of other different races, you know, mostly Latinos. But I wasn't around a lot of white people. We're talking about white people, I guess. You know, you want to get into that. That, I guess that's one of my reasons. And what I grew up, you know, the culture, how I grew up, the music and all that stuff, I just never was able to relate. So I just always stuck with, you know, black men in my race and black men and staying in my race.
So Tiffany, let me ask you something. With that being said, are you saying that the black men in the Bronx felt the same way as you did when it came to dating outside of their race?
Meaning, like, would they date outside of their race? Like, would they date a white woman? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah.
I don't know how they felt. You would have to have a show about that and ask them.
Okay, people from the Bronx that grew up in the Bronx, please call in. Males, let us know if this is just a thing that women actually do or if it's just a thing in the Bronx. I would like to really know that.
Yeah. That's just for me. I just can't relate, and I've never stepped outside of my race, and I don't even know what it feels like. I'm not saying I wouldn't give it a chance. I just never done it. So.
Well, I asked your husband.
I've never done it. I've never done it.
I think your husband said that
too.
What happened?
So both of y'all, I can ask your husband as well, and I ask Tiffany if you guys ever even thought about that and what your real answers are. You guys probably would say something totally different off the air, but. That's fine, but that's the question that we have today. But you guys are already married, so that is invalid for you. But most of these women out here, they've been struggling. They, you know, close to our age, 40 plus, and they said they've never been married. They want to be married, and they just limit their population of men in half or even more just because he is not of that particular skin color. Thank you, Tiffany.
Greg,
do you have anything else you want to bring in?
Nope, I'm good. Thanks.
Thanks, Tiff.
Greg, you're going to have to speak for yourself with that 40-plus nonsense. I am 20, okay? I'm 20. Okay?
I'm never going to ask you
how old your
children are. I'm never going to ask you how old your children are, but if you're 20, but I got you.
That's irrelevant. I'm 20.
So we have another caller on the line. Let's see if they can add. I hope it's somebody, a male from the Bronx.
Oh, God.
No, it is not a male from the Bronx.
Thank you.
Nope, it is not a male from the Bronx. The last time I checked, this is Liz. How are you?
Oh, well, Liz, how are you doing?
Good. Me and Tiffany actually grew up in the same area in the Bronx, and I have to agree, and I'm calling out of North Carolina now, but I have to agree, it's like a loyalty to what I was raised in.
Mm-hmm.
I've been divorced. My ex-husband is black, and I've thought about dating outside of my race, but I don't relate. I can't relate to a white man. I feel like I can relate to a black man, and their struggle is ultimately my struggle. And that's what I'm loyal to. I don't think black men, like Greg said, I don't think that black men feel that way. Black men will take it whatever they get. They don't have that loyalty.
Who are you telling? Girl. As soon as they make an extra penny, they will get somebody that is completely out of their race. And I mean, I'm sorry. I know I offended some people, but that's just the way I see it. I don't care how it happens. As soon as they make a penny, they go get somebody else.
I agree, and you know, and we're good. You know, the black woman is good in their struggle, but when they're on top, it's like you know, we just get kicked to the curb.
It feels
well,
that
thank
way.
You for calling
I agree.
In, Liz. I appreciate
thank
your
you for
candor
having
and
me.
Telling
thank
us
you so
no
much.
Doubt.
All right,
I agree
Priscilla.
With her, Greg. I heard you disagree with me, but that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
No, because I made more money, and I'm still with the same lady that I've been with before I had
But that's
money,
just
so
you.
Understand.
No,
I said,
that's you.
I don't.
When
I
you...
just say I don't completely agree with it. I didn't say I don't completely agree with it.
Yeah, but I mean, if you look at the industry, look at, I'm going to say rappers, athletes. Mm-hmm. You look around, and you see them, and you look on the sidelines, and when you find out who their wives are, and they've been black all their lives, and then some kind of way, they get a wife of another nationality, and that's who they marry. And I know that's not who they grew up around. I know those are not the women in their family. And I mean, hey, whatever floats your boat, you can date whoever you want. But it just seems to me that's how they shoot the dice. That's how it rolls.
I just think it's more about that, you know, black women in particular, and. Let me really get to my point when I'm actually going with this. Black women in particular holds the black man down no matter what. And no matter what we do, let me finish. No matter what we do, whatever kind of situation is going on, if we're getting the wrong end of the stick, if it's police brutality, we begin sentenced to jail for expansion a long amount of time for minor crimes, they're always behind us and always ready to support us. And the reason why that I even thought about this show to bring this show into light is that I want to give back to our black women, that I don't see a lot of black men stepping in the gates or stepping in the gaps to actually represent our black women. So this show was actually made for my mother, you know, a single black woman that actually raised up four children on her own. My sister, the same exact situation. A lot of women out there that I speak to on a daily basis, they tell me, Greg, you know, it's very hard. My baby father's not doing this for me, da-da-da-da-da-da. But when it comes to anything that I need or anything that they can help out the black community, they're ready to step in. So the reason why this show has actually been morphed into what it is just that reason, for us to give back to these women that don't have a voice, that men don't actually step up. And I want all our men out there to actually step up into these gaps and start representing our women.
I agree. I have another question.
Go ahead.
And I guess you wouldn't know this, but have you noticed, I'm not going to call it a new trend, but what's the deal with, and again, we could always flip the coin because men have been doing it since the beginning of time, but more and more older women are getting themselves some little young tenderoni. There's the term cougar. And a lot of older women, I was just listening to a show the other day, and she was 50 and her lover was early 30s, and she said she's never been happier in her life. And a lot of older women are getting themselves little young tenderoni. What do you think is fueling that?
What's fueling that? A couple of things. A woman could have been in a relationship for a very long time, got out of the relationship, and all of a sudden, you know, she's probably was abused for a very long time. She probably got into a relationship at a very young age and don't know anything else but that particular guy. And then she gets out, and the guy that she's trying to date that's her age is not trying to do the things that she wanted to do when she was younger, because she's thinking as if she's at that younger age. So they want a younger guy that has spirit. A lot of younger guys have energy. Guys my age, unless they're working out like a monster like you, Priscilla, don't have that energy, don't have that stamina. They don't want to deal with all that stuff. They don't want to go out dancing. They don't want to go out doing this, that, and another. They just want to do what they have to do, go to work, come home, and just relax. So I can see why these women are actually doing this. But what's the flip side behind that is, you know, what are the guys that they're actually dating, what they're actually trying to get out of it? Or, you know, are they really trying to be on the same level as her? I can't see it because that's 20 years difference. You know, I don't know how she is actually relating to – let me stop. Because I'm about to start.
Because you're right.
Okay.
No.
Yeah. Because I don't know how they relate. Because if you have a man that's 20 years your junior, and he's trying to do things for you, and you have all this experience, how do you deal with that? You know, how do you relate to him saying, "Hey, this is the newest dance move," and you're like, "What the hell? That looks like foolishness."
Right.
Or you know, you talk a certain type of way, you dress a certain type of way. I don't get it. Even, you know, on the flip side for a man, you know, if a man's dating a woman, you know, 20 years his junior, how does he relate to him? How do they have a serious conversation? You know, you know, that woman that's 50 years old, she's talking about, "Oh, I got to go to the doctor because my back, my knees, whatever." And he's talking about, "Hey, man, you know, if I fall and bust my knee, I'm ready to get back up in 20 minutes and go about my day." So their whole lifestyle is different. Well, we got a couple of callers that's calling on this, Priscilla.
I think
we got the same person that we had before, Chris. Let's see, this Atlanta guy. I like him. He's kind of funny.
Yeah,
Chris, let's
let
him back in.
Hello,
Chris.
Yeah,
Chris,
we can hear you,
Chris. Wait a minute. Did we make you upset, Chris? Is that why you're calling back in?
Oh, no. Y'all definitely didn't make me upset, but I got a few things.
Come on,
Chris. Okay, go ahead, Chris.
All right. First of all, I heard y'all talking about. Hold on, man. What's your name again? The host of the show?
Greg.
Priscilla?
No. Yeah, Priscilla. So you said something about, you know, the entertainers, the famous people, always getting out of their race, right?
I said they do. You look across the board, and they tend to do that. But go ahead.
Okay. They usually do that because I don't want you black women to take it wrong in any kind of way. But white women...
Yeah, bring it on, man.
White women and Latino women are more willing to listen to a man. With
I'm
going to
mute myself on this one, Priscilla. I'm done.
Thank you. Thank you, Greg. I'll take this one. Go ahead, Chris.
All right. Yeah, they are a lot more willing to listen. Like, because if you're wealthy and you got that much money, more than likely you're going to have a lot of women. A lot of women. So... When they go get a woman, they almost have to just play their role. Just play your role. You know I'm going to do this. You know I'm going to do that. Don't say nothing. Don't act like you're surprised when it happens. Keep it out the media. And just, you know, almost like be a good girl.
Oh, okay.
That's what they look for when they become famous. That's on that spectrum. Do you agree with me on that, Chris?
No. Well, I mean, maybe so, but what I'm asking you on the flip side of that, are you telling me that, so just to regurgitate what you just said, athletes choose women of other nationalities because they can walk all over them? Is that what you're saying?
Exactly.
Wow.
Because, That's what they do. I mean, because you got to, when a woman gets with an athlete, she has to understand the lifestyle. You're not going to just go from city to city. The prettiest women in the world are coming up to you, and you just going to say, oh, no, you know what? We're not having sex tonight. Please. Please.
Okay.
That is going to happen. That's why you work so hard to get that money. I mean, yeah, you want the money, you want the fame, but also you want all the women. So usually white women, Latino women, they understand that. So they'll follow with them just as long as they can get to the top. If you try to preach that to a black woman, it's not going to work.
Well, you know what, Greg? Don't breathe hard. Chris?
I said I'm muted myself. You heard that?
Wait a minute. Look, Chris, I will have to say that I kind of agree with what you're saying. And I will say this. If a man chooses another woman over me because I won't be a doormat, she can have him. Him and his money and his extra women and his break babies and all of his other kind of stuff, he can have them. But to some degree, that has been the issue with black men dating outside their race. There is always that, white women are a little more submissive. That's always been the remark. That's always been the reason. So you're only repeating what we kind of already know. I'm just glad that you said it and I didn't say it. So what's your next point?
Well, I was actually go ahead, Chris.
You got something to say, Greg?
Next point.
Yeah, say your next point, Chris. Please.
Oh, my next one. Okay. Yeah, I mean, I just kind of wanted to agree with with Greg, because he said about the cougar women dating the younger man. They have been through, most of them have been through a lot, whether they were married or just in a relationship with somebody. And at this point, they just want to have fun. So I kind of understand that whole cougar relationship.
So are you a younger man dating cougars? Is that what you're saying to me?
I mean, cougars, girls my age, I mean, it doesn't matter. But I do prefer cougars, though.
How old are you, Chris?
I'm 27. So you're 27,
and what's the oldest woman you've dated?
All right, probably about 45.
Now, I have a question.
Yeah.
So, Priscilla, I remember you were saying that these women say they feel like this is the best thing they ever had for them. Now, as a young man dating these older women, almost 20 years older than you, Chris, how does that actually feel for you? Are you actually trying to fulfill a need, or are you just trying to do what you're trying to do at this particular point in your life?
Man, like, being with an older woman, especially in the bedroom, they can keep up with us. Younger women actually have a harder time to keep up with us. So I feel the older women actually have more stamina and more life in them. And also, of course, more experience.
Oh.
Thank you, Chris. You've been very enlightening today. I think our listening audience got a lot
from this. Thank you, Chris. But, enjoy your evening.
And please call back another time of any episode. Appreciate the commentary.
All right.
Priscilla, I have somebody else on the line as well. They've been waiting patiently. Let's see what they have to say as well.
All right.
Thank you for calling from Okay, We're Listening. Your name and where are you from?
This is Joy from Atlanta.
Hey, Joy.
Hi, Joy.
Hi. So I wanted to comment on the cougars. So I think that a lot of times it is a relationship of convenience. So you get with a younger guy because he doesn't have all the baggage that some older guys, not saying all older guys have baggage, but when you have kids and you have ex-wives and baby mamas, it brings a lot of complication, and sometimes you just want something real simple. And the younger guys may not be bringing all of that to the relationship. And then as well, especially in Atlanta, once you find a guy who is older, especially if he doesn't have kids and he has a good job, he can be a little arrogant while the other men were talking about women in Atlanta. We talk about men in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. They get arrogant. Yeah. They don't even have to have anything, and they're arrogant. So before you get a 40-year-old that's like, well, I can take you out on a date, and I can do this, so I got my pick of the litter, you go to the little boys, they happy. They happy with a meal at Red Lobster.
okay. So basically, you say get him a couple of Xbox games and he's good to go, huh?
And he good. But when you go to the older guys, they have more baggage, and then they also can sometimes have an air about themselves because they know they can provide you with this and that. So it's like, what can you do for me? Okay. But the younger guys are like, thank you for a meal. And
Joy, I have a question. Are you speaking from experience? Have you done some cougaring before?
Oh, no. I do not date younger guys at all. Like, they have to be older than me. But that's because I don't like the young guy mentality. I like older guys.
See, that's what I was leading to, because I was wondering, like, what is the benefit of that? But I guess the benefit is that you're really not looking for a particular man if you're dealing with a younger or a younger male. You're just trying to have fun without any baggage so you could go about your day. So
I think that's it. And I've also known, also known a older lady who dated a younger guy because she wanted to have kids. And so she moved the man in their house. She was a doctor. She was established. She didn't need anything from a man. She could take care of herself. So she wanted a baby. And so she found her a younger guy who would give her a baby, but eventually they got divorced. They actually got married and divorced.
Wow.
This is what I'm talking about. Wow. You know, we're trying to do things with compatibility, but it's not compatibility anymore. People are just doing it for convenience now. And that convenience is killing us. You know, we have an alarming rate of divorce. Thank you, Joy, for calling in. We have an alarming rate for divorce. We have an alarming rate for a divorce. We have, you know, everybody cheating on each other. Well, not everybody, but a lot of people cheating on each other because they go into it with this mentality and say, hey, I need this right now, but they're not looking into the future. And that's what's killing off these relationships that we are actually talking about. You know, is there a Mr. Right? Well, what you actually looking for? Are you right for Mr. Right? You know, is your mindset right for Mr. Right? This is crazy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I agree. 100%. We've had some good callers tonight.
Man, today is I love it.
Yes. I told you how my day started off, so this was good.
So I have another question for you, Priscilla. Back on this Mr. Right thing, and we still haven't really defined if it is a true thing. And I know I said that, you know, you got to compromise and thing like that. But do you think that a lot of women out there are looking at the – and Tiffany said that she don't want me to use this word because it's been dethroned, you know, the alpha male or the guy that's outgoing. Is he considered to be the alpha male in women's eyes, or is he the bad guy, the guy that people try to stay away from? What is your take on this?
I think it really just depends on if a woman likes that type of man. Personally, alpha males are a little much for me because it's always a competition. They're always wanting to prove a point. They always want to be right. And even if you are right, they tend to argue you down to the last piece of lint just to prove their point. I kind of like a more just even personality. You know, if you're wrong, if you disagree, let's just leave it at that. But you can't be right all the time, and the controlling aspect of it. And that's just me, you know. And there are, like I said, it just depends on what the woman wants, because Chris made a really good point when he called in. You get that guy that's super nice, women will run all over him. They will run all over him. They will run him to the ground. So it's one of those things where it's like, you know, you get a guy that does everything you want him to do, treat him like trash. You get somebody like an alpha male, and you let him kind of take over and do what he wants to do. And I just really think it depends on the individual. Me personally, I don't want an alpha male. I couldn't deal with an alpha male because I have a very strong personality, as you know.
Oh, you do?
A very strong personality, as you know. So alpha males and I don't get along. At all. We never get along. No, I can't. No, alpha males normally don't like me.
I got
and that's just kind of the way
you.
It is. It's my whole adult life, and even as a little girl. Alpha males, right. They don't rock with me, and I don't tend to rock with them. I have been known to put a few of them in their place. They don't like it, and that's kind of it. So, I mean, it's just the word that you use tonight, compatibility. What's your personality?
Right.
What are you looking for? But no alpha males for me. They don't like me anyway. Alpha males don't like me.
That's good. You bring up good points, and that's what I want to, you know, get out of that particular question, is because I see a lot of women saying, hey, there's no men out here. Men are shy to talk to me, this, that, and another. But, and I expressed this before in a different show, is that, you know, there's a difference when it comes to men conversing with a woman versus a woman conversing with a man. And let me drag out my point on this one. Like I said before, since the age of 12, a woman has been flirted with, talked to, tried to get at by men, older men, almost every single day. Women are used to saying, no, thank you. Please, I'm about to go about my business. Can I, you know, take your number? I'll deal with you another time. On the flip side of that, men are not approached like that by women.
Right.
At the age of 12, 13, they're pretty much awkward at that particular age. And a lot of women are very mean at that particular age to men, and they put them down. So they start going into this little, I guess, this little shelter saying, hey, I'm just going to stay in my corner. I might look and I find her attractive, and then the woman looks back at him and is like, oh, he's weird. Why he's not saying anything? They are afraid of rejection. And now when we have
afraid
these
of rejection.
Men,
right.
Now, if you have these men that's coming up to you, and let's just say that's about 10% of the population, these men are not scared of rejection.
Right.
Now, these guys are the only ones that you actually have a true pool of saying, these are the men that's out there. No, these are the men that's not scared to talk to you. While these other men out here, they might be great men, but they just don't have the gift of gab of talking to women because they don't have that experience. And I don't know how to actually break that down so ladies can stop saying there's no men out there and talk to these men that don't have this experience, because sometimes when you go talk to them, they're like, you're pretty.
Yeah.
And they really not like that. They just,
they
just don't know how to approach you. So I just think it's just more about taking the time, try to make friends. Instead of trying to make a relationship, if you're trying to make a friend out of somebody, then that person gets more comfortable, and then that person could be able to communicate with you. But if you can't take that time to become friends and always going out, let's go to these little mixers, let's find this guy, I want to get this man, I want to get this guy, that's not going to work, because the majority of the men that's out there that is really right for you, it's not going to approach.
Right. You're right. You're absolutely right, and that's really good advice, and that was my last question of the evening. Could you give the ladies a little bit more advice on what they should be doing to attract men? Because some women, I mean, I see it all up and down my timeline. They're twerking, they're naked, they're I didn't realize there were so many sexual accounts on Facebook where people are actually showing penises. I'm a part of this Gray Sweatpants Matters Facebook page where men just show their penises all day.
Oh, that's what they do.
Gray sweatpants. They wear gray sweatpants and they grab their ding-a-lings and they show them in the camera all day long, all up and down the timeline. Gray sweatpants matter. And I just wonder, as a man,
how long you been a member?
I don't even know how I got in. Like, I was going down my timeline and I was like, why are all of these men's penises here? And then I noticed that they were all like Gray Sweatpants Matters. And I was like, what the hell is this? And then so apparently somebody pulled me into the group. And I was I don't like to see penis this much. I don't want to see it this much. I don't want to see it all day. Every day.
Eat your breakfast.
I'll pass.
Penis.
No.
Have a lunch. Penis.
No. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And you know what? The crazy part about it is the women are so hawkish. on this page that is just ridiculous. Like, they have no shame, none whatsoever.
Oh,
it's actually
worth
pretty
minute,
comical
huh?
to watch. Yeah. I'm not judging anybody. It's funny to watch, but yeah, they're pretty hawkish on there. It's pretty funny. Yeah.
Right.
But asking. Go ahead.
No.
Really
I'm
quickly,
so back to your question.
Anything else that you could offer our ladies? Any advice if she's out there looking to attract a guy that she's compatible with? You got any jewels for our ladies tonight?
Like I was saying earlier, you know, stop trying to have a list of criteria that a man has to be. He has to be this height. He has to be this muscular. He has to do this. He has to do that. You know, look at the compatibilities that you have within this particular person that's in front of you. Stop trying to look for Mr. Perfect, Mr. Right. There's no such thing. It's about, you know, if you're ready to be in a position of compromise as well as he's being in a position to compromise. And also, like I said before, a man doesn't really want anything from you. So it's not about how you dress. It's not about how you smell. It's not about what you do. It's about what he can actually do for you. That's what's going to keep a man interested in you. If he has a way to actually come into your life, you know, and do something to add something to it, that's where he's going to be. So if you really want to have a man, I'm sorry to say that you might have to make yourself a little bit vulnerable to show the thing that you need to have done. Don't be that woman and say, I don't need anything from a man. I don't need any help when you know that your toilet is messed up or if you know that your car is messed up. You know, not necessarily saying, hey, you got to go fix this, but, you know, just allude to it and see what he does. And if he's like, okay, I can help you out with this and you guys still have this great connection, then most likely something could build from it. But not allowing a man to see who you are because of your past experiences of what men has done to you, you know, you can't hold that against him because he's not that guy that did it to you.
I agree. That was a good word.
Well, I love this show today. We had a great time. Next week, Priscilla, I think that we will go into a little bit of a harder conversation. The conversation I want to talk about is consensual rape. A lot of women that I know have gone through this, have been in situations with guys that they might have met, and all of a sudden they trapped in a particular room and they can't get out. And the guy keeps on nagging and nagging and nagging, and all of a sudden she gives in so she can get away. And the guy don't think he did anything wrong. He don't think he did anything wrong, and most of the time he doesn't even see it. And that's a situation that this woman has, and she keeps buried it within her for many years. So I want to touch into that next week, and hopefully we have a good response this week. Let's get it in.
Absolutely.
So Priscilla, thank you once again. We had a great show.
Thank you.
Let's do it again next week.
All right. You have a great
week. Anything you want to leave with our listening audience?
No, I had a great time, guys. Keep calling in. I enjoyed the dialogue. I had a really good time.
Cool. Well, thank you guys, everybody. Have a good night. Talk to you next week.
All right.